updates tuned to yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden years. Mark Livonier, your host for an hour of comedy. Later on, it's the Abbott and Costello Show from 1947. But first, Groucho Marx and the comedy quiz series You Bet Your Life, this NBC episode from March 12, 1952.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word tonight is sky, S-K-Y.
Really?
You bet your life. More than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers of America present Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood. And here he is, the one, the only...
Groucho!
That's me. I won't run unless I'm drafted. Well, here I am again with... $1,500 for one of our couples.
Groucho, we invited some police women to the show tonight, and just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected Miss Geraldine Smith.
Steady now.
I've got it. And her partner is a husband from the audience, Mr. William Eaton. Folks, come on in here and meet Groucho Marx, will you? Please.
Well, welcome for the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Welcome for the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Say the secret word and divide $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Miss Geraldine Smith, you're the policewoman?
Yes, I am.
And you have very pretty teeth besides.
Well, thank you.
Are you married?
No, I'm not married yet.
Well, you have extra pretty teeth, huh? Mr. William Eaton?
Uh-huh.
Where are you from?
Socorro, New Mexico.
How'd you meet your wife?
I was walking down Hill Street between 7th and 8th a few years ago. I saw this young lady pass me. I went a few feet and decided I'd like to have another look. So I turned around to go in her direction and met her coming back in my direction.
Well, did you make a practice of patrolling the street? Or was this just some kind of a curious quirk this night? Huh?
Oh, I think I was strictly on an innocent mission.
I see. Well, that'll teach you a lesson. Sadie Spade, is that you? No. How long have you been a female flatfoot?
I've been a woman police officer for the past 5 years now.
A woman police officer, I see.
Yes, sir.
You don't like being called a flatfoot, eh?
No, I don't.
Well, I can't call you a bull because that'd be ridiculous. What sort of work do you do, Mr. Eaton, outside of 7th and 8th? You must have some other occupation, I presume.
I'm an escrow officer. I work in an escrow company.
Oh, you're not a cop, huh?
No, I'm strictly an impartial third person. Hold money and hold funds and documents until certain conditions have been complied with.
You're a third party, huh?
I'm a third party.
Well, who's your candidate?
The fourth party.
Well, Copper, I see you're still hanging around. I may run you in for loitering, you know. I'm curious. Now, just how do you get to be a female woman police officer?
Well, first of all, you have to take a written, oral, and a physical agility examination from mm-hmm. the city that you're applying to.
What are some of these tests that you take, Geraldine?
Well,
what a silly name for a policeman, huh?
Jerry is perfectly
imagine
right.
Imagine calling a cop in the middle of the night and having Geraldine show up. Well, tell us something about the tests. What do they consist of?
Well, we have the hand grip test, and then we have the shoulder spread test.
What's a shoulder spread? Is that anything like a sandwich spread?
Oh, no.
Or a middle-aged spread? Or...
No. That's the using a machine that tests for the amount of pull of the muscles.
I see. The more pull you can exert, the better job you get, is that it?
Well, it might be classed as partially that.
Well, now, you mentioned a hand grip. Is that anything like a Gladstone bag?
No, again.
Well, it could be.
The hand grip is gripping an instrument that records the number of poundage pressure that you can exert in your grip.
Well, recently, I've been losing my grip. Would you object to testing my grip?
No.
How is it, huh? Here's my hand. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, like
hey, this
that.
Is fun. I don't know whether she's going to lead me to the altar or into jail. How does it feel, huh?
You have nice hands.
Nice hands, huh? They should be. I rub them every night with cottage cheese. Well, you make an arresting couple, and it's been most interesting talking to you two.
Thank you.
All right, now let's see how you work together as a team. George? Explain the rules.
You bet as much of your $20...
It's a fascinating flatfoot.
You bet as much of your $20 as you want on each of four questions, and the couple that earns the most money gets a chance at the $1,500 DeSoto Plymouth question later in the show.
All right, here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected famous inventions and discoveries as your category. Here's your first question. How much of the 20 will you try?
1975.
Talk up, Geraldine.
1975.
Talk right up as though you were making a
1975,
pin.
He says.
Who invented the magnetic telegraph?
Marconi.
Marconi.
Oh. Talk it over.
Marconi?
Is that Edison?
Edison?
No, I'm sorry. It's Morse.
Morse.
It was so easy, you fell right over it.
Samuel Morse.
All right, now you got two bets left.
Yeah.
How much are you going to bet?
20 cents.
20 cents. All right, remember, you're going for $1,500 tonight. That's the big money anyhow. You're going to bet 20 cents. Who invented the cotton gin?
Gin.
Whitney.
Whitney.
Eli Whitney is right.
Yeah. You now have 45 cents.
40 cents.
How much are you going to bet? 40 cents? Who evolved the special theory of relativity?
Einstein.
Einstein is right.
You're climbing. You have 85 cents.
That's some climb, all right. You're practically in the cellar. Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the 85 will you go for?
85.
All right. Who invented the motion picture machine?
Is that Edison?
Eastman.
Talk it over.
Eastman.
Take a stab.
Eastman.
No, it's Thomas Edison.
They went broke completely.
Well, nobody leaves here broke. We'll give you one more question. Answer it correctly, and we'll see that you win $25. Ready? What kind of an animal was Peter Rabbit? A rabbit is right. Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers.
Groucho, we have a housewife and a man with an interesting occupation for you now. They were chosen from our studio audience just before we went on the air. Mrs. Maria Galarza, Mr. James Hershey, come on in here and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, folks, to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word and divide $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Mrs. Maria Galarza and Mr. James Hershey, eh? What kind of a name is Galarza?
It is of Spanish extraction.
Oh, I knew him very well. He's a dentist in Mexico City.
No.
He does Spanish extractions. Yes, he does. were you born in Spain, Maria?
No, I come from Bronzell, Germany.
You come from Bronxville?
Bronzell, Germany.
Oh, then I presume your husband's name is Galarza. Is he the Mexican dentist?
No, he's an American with a Spanish name.
Well, how long did you know each other before he popped the question?
We knew each other about a year, and then he proposed, and then he left for the States.
This was after you accepted him, he left for the States?
No.
That's the old army game for you. Well, what did you do? Did you pursue him?
Well, after he found out that he couldn't bring me to the States as an alien, he had to come back to Germany. So we got married in Germany.
I see. Jim, I imagine that's you over there.
That's right.
Where are you from, Jim?
Well, I was born a couple of blocks from the slaughterhouse in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hmm. Was that of any help?
I wouldn't know.
What sort of work do you do?
I'm a lecturer, Groucho.
I see. Where do you do your lecturing?
Well, mostly in luncheon clubs or dinner meetings and places like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you must get pretty tired of cream chicken and peas, don't you? What kind of lectures, what are the subjects that you lecture on, Jim?
Well, for example, if I were talking to a women's club, I would talk about leadership and how they can take a more active part in politics, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Is that all?
Well,
What are some of the problems you try to settle? Could you give us an example?
Well, as an example, if a person, a woman, were concerned with the fear of ability or something on that order, I discuss how to eliminate that particular fear.
How to eliminate her husband? Is that what you mean? I suppose the audience is all men. What do you tell them?
Well, if I were talking to men, I would talk probably more about success, how to become more a success, and how to find the right field.
Well, suppose a man plays left field. What do you do? How does a man find the right field?
Well,
just keeps walking between 7th and 8th on Hill Street, I suppose.
Well, to sum it up, Groucho.
I wish you would, since you haven't said anything yet.
I would tell
No, I think it's been pretty informative, Jim. And I want to thank you. I've learned a lot from you tonight, Jim. But don't ask me why. Well, sum it up, Jim. I'd really like a summation of this.
All right. I would say, if you want to find the right field, discover what makes you happy and stick to it till it pays off.
I see. Suppose a fellow's crazy about sitting under a tree all day. Now, Maria, could you tell us how this country impressed you when you first disembarked?
I disembarked. I stepped out of a plane. But I was so...
That's right. Make a fool out of me.
No, I'm sorry. But
you're sorry what? That you disembarked or that you made a fool out of me? Maria, what are some of the things about this country that you like?
Oh, I like the people very much. They are easy to make friends with and very helpful and try to put you at ease as an alien. But also, I like the little things, like strawberry sundae.
Anything else over here that you like?
Yes, I like the wonderful entertainment that you can have right in your home.
Oh.
For instance, television or radio programs.
Well, don't they have these things in Germany?
Yes, they have radio, but the programs are not as good as over here.
What kind of programs do they have in Germany? Johanna's other Hausfrau?
Nein.
Wow, well, was haben Sie? Was haben Sie in Deutschland?
Oh, and we listen to popular classical music and concert music.
That's sehr gut, and, sehr gut.
And lectures.
Lectures?
And Groucho Marx.
Now, just a moment. You have Groucho Marx in Germany?
Yes.
He's an imposter. I haven't been in Germany in years. Who is this Schweinhund?
It's you.
He's giving him buck five. That's his heart, what?
It's you.
It's me? I've been insulted.
No, really not.
Now, come now. You really listen to You Bet Your Life in Germany?
You bet your life I do.
What is it called over there?
It's called You Bet Your Life.
Well, how do you say it in German?
Oh, Du verwettest dein Leben.
Remember that, everybody. Well, how did you get the radio in Germany? I don't understand that.
Well, they have the American troops over there, and it's sponsored by the Armed Forces Network.
Oh, is that so?
Mm-hmm.
As I understand, now they take a recording of this program, and they play it in Germany, huh?
That's what they do.
That's very interesting. Do the German people go out and buy DeSotos?
I guess they'd like to, but they cut out the commercials because it's for the Army.
I see. we'll have to get in a commercial somehow. Attention, GIs in Europe. Next time somebody asks you what you're doing there, for the love of Pete, don't tell them Groucho sent you. Well, Maria, I hope you'll be very happy in your adopted country. And if you really want to see one of the finest things we have over here, just take a look at the new DeSoto Fire Dome 8. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to play You Bet Your Life. You beat our other couples, you'll get a chance at the $1,500 question. Can't tell you how much you have to win, but George is going to remind our listeners.
The policewoman and Mr. Eaton lost all their money, so this couple has a clear field. And the secret word is sky.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected familiar operatic areas as your category. Jerry will play the music, and you tell me what opera it's from. Here's your first question. How much will you bet?
$19.
$19. They line fast in Germany,
$19.50,
yeah?
$19.50, yeah.
Jerry and the boys will play their version of Ma Paris or Ah So Pure. You give me the name of the opera. Okay, Jerry.
Arthur is right. And you're off to
a great start. You have $39.50.
Maria, when you know the answer, don't hop on it quite so quickly. We're paying these people an unholy salary out here.
Wait about
an hour next time. Let them play the whole opera. All right, remember you're going for $1,500 tonight. How much of the...
$39.50,
will you bet?
We'll bet. $39.
Jerry and the orchestra will play the Barcarolle. What opera is it from?
The Tales from Hoffman.
And you now have $78.50.
And here's your third question. How much of this fabulous sum are you going to bet this time?
How much?
78. This aria is Vesta la Juba. What opera is it from?
You now have $156.50.
And here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much will you bet?
We bet it all.
All right, Jerry. $156.50. Jerry will play his version of the Habanera. What opera is it from?
Carmen.
And you wind up with $313.
Thanks and good luck to the DeSoto Plymouth dealer.
We selected an interesting young couple from our studio audience, Groucho, and I'd like you to meet them right now. Mr. and Mrs. James Marlowe, come on in and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, youngsters, for the DeSoto Plymouth dealer. Say the secret word and divide $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Mr. and Mrs. James Marlowe, eh? Where's your home, James? And don't spare the horses. Eh?
Nampa, Idaho.
Where?
Nampa.
Nampa?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Where is that?
That's near Boise.
Where's Boise? Is that near Guernsey? Mrs. Marlowe, what's your front name?
Renee.
Renee, huh? How'd you happen to be tagged with a moniker like Renee?
Well...
Was your mother frightened by Charles Boyer? You go to the Casper? Where are you from, Renee?
San Francisco, near the bay.
Oh. How old are you?
24.
Oh, very young-looking... wife. And what is your age, Jim?
I'm 24, too.
You look like Peter Lynn Hayes, you know that?
Is that good or bad?
No, that's good. That's good, unless you're Peter Lynn Hayes. No, he's a fine-looking lad. You must have seen them on television.
Yes,
he and
I
his
have.
Wife, Mary
yeah.
Ely. And she's a beautiful girl, and you look something like her. It's quite a resemblance. Are you sure you're not the road company of Hayes and Healy?
No.
Those two kids? Jim, do you call her Renee, or do you have other pet names for her?
Well, I call her Dink.
What do you call him, Renee?
Dinky.
Why?
Because he reminds me of one.
What is a dinky? Anything like a pinky? Or a dinghy?
It's a cable car in San Francisco.
It reminds you of a cable car? It must be the cable car named Desire, I think. Well, that's very romantic, I think. That your husband reminds you of a cable car. Was this going uphill or down? Do you remember? Dink and Dinky, eh? The only difference between you two is a Y. And you can join the Y for $9. How long have you been married, Jim?
About 5 years now.
Where did you meet your husband, Renee?
I know, 7th and 8th on Hill Street.
Between 15th and 16th on Chestnut Street.
No, he sat beside me in our geometry class at San Mateo High.
Geometry class? How did you find he managed to trap Jim?
We eloped to Reno.
You went to Reno to get married?
Yes.
That's the younger generation for you. They do everything backwards. Tell me, why did you elope?
Well, our parents objected.
Had they seen Jim? Was this just a general objection they had to your getting married?
I think so.
I see. Did you put a stepladder up to her window and help her down with her suitcase, Jim?
No, as a matter of fact, I didn't help her at all. Her father carried her suitcase.
That's a nice picture. She and her father going down the ladder together. What were you doing, holding the ladder?
No, as I said, I wasn't there.
You weren't even there? She was eloping, huh? Isn't that romantic, huh?
Her father thought she was spending a weekend with a girlfriend. That's how we arranged the deal, to get out of town without being noticed.
Your father, in other words, had no idea that you were eloping, is that it?
That's right.
That's what you think. You probably had your room rented before you rounded the corner. Jim, how did you finally break the news to your folks?
Well,
by this time, they were running the streetcar.
I sent a telegram to my folks after we were married, and I said, just married Renee, don't wait dinner.
And how about you, Renee? How did you notify your parents?
Well, I sent them a telegram, too, and I said, just married Jim, having a wonderful time.
I should think so.
Wish you were here.
I don't think her father wouldn't have showed up, but he was busy holding the ladder for his other daughter. Well, you're a nice young couple, and apparently the world is your oyster. Now, just look out for the months with R in them. I said that pretty good for an Eastner, huh? Now you're going to play a bet your life for a chance at the $1,500 DeSoto Plymouth question. You run your $20 into more than our other couples. I can't tell you how much you have to win, but Mr. Fenneman is going to remind our listeners.
The girl from Germany and Mr. Hershey lead with $313.
Laughing boy, come out here, will you? He even laughs backstage. He doesn't care. Here we go. Let's see how high I can bid you $20. You selected words beginning with the letters P-A-R. Here's your first question. How much will you bet?
19.
What is the word beginning with par that means the Legislative Assembly of Great Britain?
Parliament.
Parliament is right.
Well, you're off to a good start. You have $39.
And they're longer than the other cigarettes, too. Remember, you're going for $1,500 tonight. Now, how much of your $39 are you going to bet this time?
38.
All right. What is the word that means to scorch, burn, or dry to excess?
Parch.
Parch is right.
You now have $77.
I thought parch was the front part of a house. Here's your third question. How much will you bet?
How much do we have?
77.
76.
76. What is the word beginning with par that means a burlesque imitation of a serious song or poem?
Parody.
Parody is right.
You now have $153.
And this is your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the 153?
All of it.
Okay, now I don't want to influence you. You use your own judgment here, Jim.
It's pretty bad.
No, it's been pretty good so far.
We'll bet it all.
All right. Now, what is the word that means a lady's sun umbrella?
Parasol.
A parasol is right.
You wind up with $306, and that means the girl from Germany and Mr. Hershey with $313 in just 1 minute. Get the chance at the DeSoto Plymouth $1,500 question. And here's the winning couple, Groucho, the girl from Germany and Mr. Hershey, all set for the $1,500 question. Right in here.
Here it is. Situated in Salisbury Plain in England is a group of ancient stone circles, thought to be more than 4,000 years old. Their exact origin is unknown, but they're believed by some archaeologists to be temples of the Druids. For $1,500, tell me, what is this group of ruins called? Walk over. All right, what is the answer you two have decided upon? If you don't know, guess.
Don't know.
Nothing? I'm sorry. The correct answer is Stonehenge. And our source for this is the Encyclopedia Americana. So that means the big question next week will be worth $2,000. Well, you lost the big money, but they won quite a lot. How much did they win the quiz, George?
$313
in the
quiz.
Well, it's not too bad. Congratulations and thanks to both of you and to all of our contestants on the show tonight.
Thank you very much.
Be sure to tune in again next Wednesday night at this same time for the Groucho Marx Show, when the big question will be worth $2,000. And don't miss Groucho's television show, also presented by the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America. And remember, all dealers who sell DeSoto also sell Plymouth. Two great cars, both products of the Chrysler Corporation.
And when you drive in, tell them Groucho sent you. Good night, folks, and remember, see the DeSoto Fire Dome 8. Tomorrow.
You Bet Your Life on Tuned to Yesterday from the 12th of March, 1952 on NBC. This is an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the Abbott and Costello Show. At the time of this broadcast, part of NBC's Thursday night lineup at 10 o'clock, over 15.5 million people tuned into this episode. Broadcast on April 17th, 1947.
A chair for tonight's Camel Show, starring Bud Abbott and Luke Costello.
Hey, Costello, Costello, come in. Costello, will you come over here, please? Will you listen to me? What are you writing on that pad?
Hey, Abbott.
What are you writing on that pad?
I'm just making out a list of girls I'm going to kiss next week. Here's who I got picked out. Lizzie Schwartz, Maggie Muggelmeier, Tessie Tinfoil, Lana Turner.
Now, wait a minute. No. Lana Turner wouldn't kiss you.
Oh, no?
Oh, no.
Then I'll scratch her off my list.
I love you. You dummy, always thinking of girls. Girls, girls, girls. A great men don't waste their time on girls. Where do you suppose Benjamin Franklin would have been if he'd have thought of girls all of the time?
In the front row at Earl Carroll's?
No. Costello, I've been telling you for the past 3 weeks. You've got to quit chasing girls and get yourself a job. Look at you. Look how sloppy you are. Look at your socks.
I can't help my socks, Abbott. It's those new Hickok plastic garters.
What's the matter with them?
Your socks stay up, but your legs fold out.
Yeah.
Luke Costello, telegram for Luke Costello. Here, boy.
Out of the way, fatso. I'm looking for Luke Costello.
Boy, he is Luke Costello.
The famous Luke Costello.
Exactly.
The one and only Luke Costello.
Yes.
That's me.
Gee, I listen to you on the radio every Thursday night. You break me up when you say, how do you do?
Wait a minute. That ain't me. That's the mad Russian.
You're saying?
I'm not me. Who's going to take this telegram?
I'll take it.
It's collect $14.
He'll take it. Oh, give it to me. Here, boy. Hey, Costello. This telegram is from Joe DiMaggio. Listen to this. Dear Lou, as you know, I am recovering from a foot operation. I would appreciate you taking my place on the New York Yankees until I recover. Please report to the Yankee Stadium immediately. Signed, Joe DiMaggio.
Abbott.
Hey, that's wonderful.
The news. That's the news I've been waiting for. I'm going to be a big league ball player.
Yes.
DiMaggio probably heard about my playing with the Cucamonga Wildcats last year.
You a ball player? I don't believe it, Costello. You know nothing about balls.
Oh, no, I eat baseball. I live baseball. All night when I'm asleep, I dream about baseball.
Don't you ever dream about girls?
What, and miss my turn up at bat?
Oh! What's the matter with you?
Yes, and another thing, Abbott. What page are you on?
Never mind what page you're on.
Not only that, in Paterson, New Jersey, I worked out with a baseball team. I used to stay out till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Why did you stay out till 4 o'clock in the morning?
This was a girls' baseball team.
Costello, if you're going to play with the New York Yankees, you really have to know something about big league baseball, Lou.
I know all about baseball.
All right, suppose there's a left-handed pitcher pitching. What do?
I put in a right-handed batter.
Now, suppose there's a right-handed pitcher pitching.
I put in a left-handed batter.
But now I trick you. I take out the right-handed pitcher and put in a left-handed pitcher.
Then I double-cross you. I take out my left-handed batter and put in a right-handed batter.
Now, wait a minute. Where are you getting all those right-handed batters?
The same place where you're getting all those left-handed pitchers.
Oh.
Hello, Bud. Hello, Louis, honey.
It's Marilyn Maxwell.
Hello, Marilyn. I've got great news. I'm going to play ball with the New York Yankees. I'm taking you along as a pitcher.
Oh, now, Costello, Marilyn Maxwell can't pitch.
Oh, no? You should see all the guys she struck out that were trying to get the first base.
Ah, no.
This kid has got some nice curves.
Louis, you're so sweet. But I do hope you be careful. You know, big league baseball is a very dangerous game.
Oh, what's dangerous about baseball, Marilyn?
Well, I read in the paper this morning that in the opening game in Boston, five players died on base.
Marilyn, you don't seem to know much about baseball. Let me show you how to play indoor baseball. First, I put my left arm around your waist. Then I snuggle my head on your shoulder like this. Then I press my cheek against your cheek.
Oh, wait a minute, Costello. That's not the way to play indoor baseball.
How do you like that? Every season, new rules.
Well, goodbye and good luck, Louis. I just know you'll become famous with those New York Yankees.
Marilyn's right, Thank Costello. You, this is Thank your you. Chance to become famous. Now, you've got a good job as a baseball player, and you might find your proper niche in life.
Yes, I might. I mean, after all, if I find my... What will I find?
A niche. You'll find your niche.
Abbott, when I find an itch, I scratch it.
No. What in the world are you talking about?
An itch. I once had the 7-year itch.
What happened?
I scratched real fast and got rid of it in 3.5 years.
No, I'm not talking about that kind of an itch. I mean an itch in life. An itch in life is what everyone is looking for. Anyone who is successful has found an itch.
Well, if that's the case, I know an Airedale that is doing very well.
Listen to me, Costello. When I say an itch, I don't mean an itch like you have when you have an itch. I mean an itch like you have when you have a notch.
Oh, you don't mean an itch like an itch when you have an itch. You mean an itch like you have when you have a notch.
Now you've got it.
Now I've got it. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Costello, why do you mash everything up like that? You're the most mixed up man I ever saw.
Well, maybe it's because I fell on my mother's mix master this morning. She had a set for mashed potatoes.
Oh.
I'm all mother.
I know that. I'm idiot. All I'm trying to tell you is that a niche is a notch. Catch?
Natch.
All right. Now, you know that an itch is a notch. You know that both of them are the same.
Yes.
Now, I could have a notch and you could have a niche.
Yes. Niche to me and notch to you.
I'm only trying to impress you the importance of being a big league ball player and having a good income. Did you ever draw a nice big fat salary?
No. I never drew a fat salary, but I once sketched a skinny tomato.
No. Say draw. I don't mean draw like you draw when you draw. I mean draw like you draw when you draw a salary.
Habit. Let me smell your breath. Just as I thought. You've drawn one too many already.
Can you listen to me, please? When I say you draw a salary, I mean you draw money.
No, he's got me drawing money. Wait till the FBI finds out about this. I'll probably draw 20 years in a clink. And they don't feed you any celery in there either.
Costello, when I say you draw money, I mean you draw like you draw money to spend it. Not like when you draw on an easel.
That's what I always say. With money, it's easel come, easel go.
Everybody draws money. I draw money. I've been drawing money for years. My brother draws money. He's been drawing money for years.
You draw and your brother draws?
Certainly.
Just as I thought. You and your brother are an old pair of drawers.
Clear Skinny and a Swift. Linda.
When I go to sleep, I never count sheep. I count all the charms about Linda. Lately it seems, in all of my dreams, I walk with my arms about Linda. But what good does it do me? For Linda doesn't know I exist. Can't help feeling gloomy. Think of all the loving I've missed. We pass on the street, my heart skips a beat. I say to myself, hello, Linda. If only she'd smile, I'd stop her a while, and then I would get to know Linda. But miracles still happen, and when my lucky star begins to shine, with one lucky break, I'll make Linda mine. On the street, my heart skips a beat. I say to myself, hello, Linda. If only she'd smile, I'd stop her a while, and then I would get to know Linda. But miracles still happen, and when my lucky star begins to shine, with one lucky break, I'll make Linda mine.
Well, fella, if you want to be a big league ball player, you've got to get yourself in shape. Now, from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., you lift weights. From 9 to 10, deep knee bend. 10 to 11, skip rope. 11 to 12, run 5 miles.
12 to 1, I'll never make it.
Hey, look. You idiot, you'll never be a ball player. Staying up late and going to nightclubs, eating rich food, running around with beautiful girls. Do you know what can happen to you?
Yes, I can become manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Costello. I don't even know why DiMaggio picked you. You don't even know how to swing a bat.
I know all about swinging bats. When I was a kid, my father used to hit me with a baseball bat. My brother used to hit me with a baseball bat. My Uncle Artie Stebbins used to hit me with a baseball bat. And my mother used to hit me with a tennis racket.
With a tennis racket?
Yes, she didn't like baseball.
Hiya, fellas.
Well, where is Gillian?
Hey, Costello. I heard about you taking Joe DiMaggio's place for the New York Yankees.
That's right.
You know, I used to pitch for the Hollywood Stars. And boy, I'll never forget my last game. There were 5 men on base.
Wait. 5 men on base. Now, that's impossible.
Did you ever see the Hollywood Stars play?
Ennis, I've seen the Hollywood Stars, and I don't remember you.
Oh, I've changed a lot since then. I had the biggest buck teeth you ever saw. I was the only man on the team that could slide into second base and spike you from either end.
Well, so long, fatso. So long, skinny. So long. Hey, you know that skinny would make an ugly skeleton?
All right. Costello, don't waste time with him. Now, you've got to get ready for the opening game.
Yes, I think we're going to play the Cleveland Indians.
Cleveland Indians, eh?
Uh-huh.
Feller pitching?
Certainly there's a feller pitching. Who do you think they'd use, a girl?
Oh, I know they don't use a girl. I said feller pitching.
What feller?
Feller with the Cleveland Indians.
Look, Abbott, there's 9 guys on the Cleveland team. Now, which feller are you talking about?
Feller that pitches. There is only one feller with Cleveland.
You mean 9 Yankees are going to play against one feller?
That's right.
You mean there's no fellers in the outfield?
No.
And there's no fellers in the infield?
No. Cleveland only has one feller.
Well, this feller must be pretty good if he don't need any other players but himself.
Look, all the players will be out there helping him.
You just said there was only one feller on the team.
That's right.
Then where did all them other fellers come from?
Oh, you idiot. When I say there's only one feller on the team, I mean there is only one feller that pitches.
Well, Abbott, when the manager of the team wants this pitcher, what does he call him?
Feller.
You mean he just hollers, "Hey, feller!" And this guy knows that they mean him?
That's right. His name is Feller, Feller, Bob Feller. And when I say there is only one feller on the team that pitches, that's it. And the feller that pitches is Feller. There's only the other fellers on the team, but there's only one feller.
Boy, are you mixed up. Oh, you mean the feller that pitches is feller. And there's other fellers on the team, but they're not fellers?
Now you grasp it.
Yes, I grasp it, but it keeps slipping out of my hand.
Let's go into this sporting goods store and get your baseball equipment. I want you to look right for the opening game. Now, go ahead and ask that lady there where they keep the baseball uniforms.
Pardon me, miss.
Well, if it isn't Mr. Albert.
Hello.
And Mr. Costello.
Hello.
You fought, little Manu.
What are you doing in the sporting goods store, miss?
Oh, I just stopped in to get a gift for my nephew. I'm buying him a Boz ball.
Boz
ball?
Abbott, you know what a Boz ball is. That's what the poacher throws to the coocher. And the booter tries to boot a home run.
My nephew is just a lotto chope, but his ambition is to be a Brooklyn Dodger catcher.
Well, if he's only a little guy, why don't he join the Deep Fruit Tugers and be a short stoop?
Be going. As we say in Chinese, eat your gooey hot suey, I'm pretty sure to you.
And a dish of gooey chop suey and a push to you, too.
Hey, look, that fella. Here comes the salesman now.
Oh, good morning, boys. As Johnny Weissmuller said to Buster Crab, what dive did you come out of?
Well, my friend and I are here to get some baseball equipment. I'd like to see a baseball uniform that would fit Costello.
So would I. Look, as Adam said to Eve, quit ribbing me. However, I'll do the best I can. We'll start with the spike shoes. What size do you wear?
8.
Oh, let me see. I've only got one pair left, and they're size 5. Maybe you can squeeze into them, Costello. Go ahead and try. Okay. What do you know? Open-toed baseball shoes. Now for the uniform. My, you're certainly a pudgy little rascal, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you overweight?
I'm about 120 pounds overweight, but I'm going back to my normal weight.
That's what's normal.
60 pounds overweight.
Gosh, Sally, you should really go on a diet. Yeah, of course you know what a diet is, don't you?
Oh, sure. That's where you can eat all you want of everything you don't like.
Young man, if you really want to reduce, why don't you exercise with a couple of dumbbells?
Okay, I'm ready whenever you and Abbott are.
All right. Cut that out.
Oh, we've got to get your baseball equipment. Mister, do you have any bats?
Oh, certainly. Here's a fine bat. Autographed by Slaughter of the Cardinals. This bat was made for Slaughter.
Ain't you got one that was made for baseball?
When he says Slaughter, he means Slaughter the baseball player.
Slaughter the baseball player? With that bat, you could slaughter anybody.
No, Costello, I'm talking about Slaughter. Everybody knows Slaughter. He knows Slaughter.
Well, maybe he knows Slaughter, but I don't know him.
You idiot. Everybody knows Slaughter, the baseball player. Slaughter is the man's last name.
What's his first name?
He knows.
Now, there's a clever guy. He knows his first name.
Oh, well, forget about the bat. Look, mister, do you have a baseball cap that will fit Costello's head?
What size pencil sharpener does he wear?
Yeah.
Oh, a baseball cap. Oh, yes, here's a dandy. This is the kind fella wears.
What fella?
The fella with the Cleveland Indians.
There's 9 players with the Cleveland Indians. Which fella are you talking about?
Oh, young man, when I say fella with the Cleveland Indians, I am only referring to one fella. The fella that pitches for the Cleveland Indians.
When you say the fella with the Cleveland Indians, you're only referring to one fella. The fella that pitches for the Cleveland Indians.
Yes. As Orville said to Wilbur, you're right.
How do you like that? Now they're doing our routines in sporting goods stores.
Oh, forget about him, Custer. Hey, wait a minute. I've got an idea. Mrs. Wetwash's late husband used to be a big league ball player. Now, he was a home run king, in other words. Now, maybe she'll give you one of his bats for good luck. Let's go over to her house and ask her.
Oh, okay. I'll go right over now, huh? You're right, Abbott. As John Adams said to Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. How do you like that? I forgot what John Adams said to Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Well, good morning, Mrs. Wetwash.
Oh, hello, Mr. Abbott. Oh, my, you know you ought to muzzle that St. Bernard dog. Oh, pardon me, it's Costello. Tell me, Costello, how are things in Glocka, moron?
Mrs. Wetwash, I wish you hadn't said that. I was just telling Abbott, your face reminds me of a rose.
Oh, really? An American Beauty rose?
No, a rhinoceros.
Mrs. Wetwash, Costello's leaving for New York to join Joe DiMaggio's place. Take Joe's place. Isn't that wonderful? He's going to play with the Yanks.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Yes?
What do those big Yanks want with a little jerk like him?
Mrs. Wetwash, that was an insult. I'll have you know that beautiful women find me irresistible.
I don't find you irresistible.
And I don't find you beautiful.
Quiet, Costello. Ask her for those baseball bats her husband left her.
Okay. Mrs. Wetwash, I understand when your husband was alive, he had a lot of old bats.
That's a lie. He never went out with anybody but me.
No, Mrs. Wetwash. Costello means your husband's baseball bats. You see, he thought you might give him one of them.
Yes, that's right, Mrs. Wetwash. You see, I need a good bat.
Oh, you need a good bat. I'll be glad to help you out.
Can I have the bat right now?
Right now. Oh, me, Abbott! Oh, my little hand!
Presents lovely Marilyn Maxwell for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Sea of Grass. For Camel fans everywhere and in honor of New Orleans Jazz Week, Marilyn sings for the first time on the air the title song of the picture, New Orleans.
Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans and miss it each night and day? I know I'm not wrong, the feeling's getting stronger the longer I stay away. The moss-covered vines, the tall sugar pines, where mockingbirds used to sing, and I'd like like to see the lazy Mississippi a-hurrying into spring. The moonlight on the bayou, a trio tune that fills the air. I dream about magnolias in June, and soon I'm wishing that I were there. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans when that's where you left your heart? And there's something more. I miss the one I care for more than I miss New Orleans.
Costello, I'm going to New York with you. You know, Bucky Harris, the Yanks manager, gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's playing on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, strange it may seem, they give these ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and...
His brother Daffy?
Daffy Dean.
I'm their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean, oh, I see. Well, let's see, we have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You're going to be the coach, too?
Yes.
And you know the fellow's name?
Oh, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing
who
first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell
that's
me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets the
that's
money.
That's it.
Who gets the money on
he
first
base? He does, every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Who's wife?
Yes. What's wrong with that?
Look, all I want to know is when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name to
who?
The contract? The guy.
Who?
How does he sign his
that's
name?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Well, don't change the players.
I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
I'm only asking you, who's the guy on first base?
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
Name on first base.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Oh, he's on third. We're not talking about him. Now, let's
now, how did I get on third base?
Why, you mentioned his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again. When you stay on third base,
right.
Don't go off it.
All right, now what do you want to know?
Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist on putting who on third base?
What am I putting on third?
What is on second?
You don't want who on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
Look, you got outfield?
Sure.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
I'm not. Stay out of the infield. I want to know what's the guy's name in left field.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on
who's
second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field.
He's just center field.
Look,
you got a pitcher on the team.
Sure.
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you,
then
man.
Go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you're going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen, who is not pitching?
I'll break your arm, you say, who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
Now, the catcher?
Certainly.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today. And tomorrow's pitcher.
Now you've got it.
All we got is a couple of days on the team. I'm a catcher, too.
So they tell
I get behind the plate, do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and a heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Now, the heavy hitter bunts the ball. When he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I'm going to throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
It's to throw the ball to first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Look, if I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it. Now, who has it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to Natural.
No, you don't. You throw the ball in a hole.
Naturally.
That's different.
That's what I say.
You're not saying that.
I throw the ball to Naturally.
You throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
Listen, you ask me.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Now you ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's
same
it.
Same as you.
Don't change them around.
Same as you.
Go ahead, now get it over.
I throw the ball to who? Whoever it is drops the ball and the guy runs the second.
Yes.
Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to, I don't know. I don't know, throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to be caught. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a darn.
What?
I said I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
I'm in it. Come on.
What is that, Lou, you've got in your hand there? Another telegram?
Hey, Abbott, look, I just got a telegram from Joe DiMaggio.
Well, go ahead and read it.
Okay. Dear Lou, just heard your show. I think you have the makings of the world's greatest natural ball player. You have spiked teeth, a club head, and you've been off your base for years.
Good. Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody, and a special good night to Joe DiMaggio. Get well quick, Joe.
Listen to Abbott and Costello again next Thursday night when Costello is going to build himself a new prefabricated house. You can imagine the trouble he'll get into. I don't know whether it'll be a one-story house or a two-story house, but anyway, that's another story.
The Abbott and Costello Show on Tuned to Yesterday from the 17th of April, 1947 on NBC. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. It's been a pleasure.